The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
La 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 la. La 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 la. La 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 la. I represent Bahamian people. I from Nassau, Bahamas, big up Baton, bro. Boy, I from Baton, bro. Right between West and Augusta, where them two roads meet, they call it Wilkinson Street. Manners and respect was like a sign blank check. It seems the ones that come in after quick to disrespect. You see, this life in the ghetto never easy. So many hungry days break till it grieve me. Boy, I doing the best I can, trying to turn my dollar to $100,000. I represent the ghetto people. I from Nassau, Bahamas, big up Baton, bro. Boy, I from Baton, bro. Don't take no back talk, no bribe or no joke. If you find fire, you're definitely find smoke. Baton, bro. Boy, I from Baton, bro. Baton, I say up and running. Caliban say my shovel don't ever give in. 7 years of farming, watch the crops them come in. Today see a humble thing, the lion sleeping. But they ain't for no reason, reason. Only God that I believe in, living. Watch them only passion for a season, season. Cutlass, I gon' weed them, weed them. I represent the ghetto people. I from Nassau, Bahamas, big up Baton, bro. Boy, I from Baton.
Good night, Bahamas. And welcome to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. I'm your host, Valentino Braun, host of the talk show Inside the Inner City that premieres every Friday at 6:30 to 8 p.m. The only time we don't come on air is on holidays. Telephone numbers tonight are 323-6232, 325-4316. 325-4259, and you can text us, powered by BTC, at 422GR96, and you can follow us up on Cable Bahamas 969 on the cable channel, and we're broadcasting live, so you'll get a live interview. And again, it's my pleasure to host you on this wonderful Friday. Today, you know, Guardian Radio has always asked me to bring people who are familiar with inner city communities, persons who have contributed, persons who know the history about the country and might have a lot of solutions. Sometimes we need persons with the experience and the capability who are being through drama and had a hard time in life to really come to us and speak to us. Normally these radio talk show has a lot of politicians, pastors, and important people in the country, but there are a lot of other important people who we need to hear their voice on Guardian Radio. Has given me the task of finding persons in the country who has the experience and capability to come in and give their expertise on certain circumstances that have been plaguing our country for many, many years. And some of these people, you know, have a very powerful voice, but it's just that they don't have the opportunity to come and express their voice. I was fortunate enough to be able to have my own talk show, and earlier in my career, I was able to go on numerous different talk shows over the course of about 10, 15 years, and it's enabled me to have my own platform. And I use my platform to go find persons who know what's going on in the country, see it with their own eyes, and express it. And most importantly, they have the courage to actually come on radio and talk about things that are actually, we call it the invisible stuff. But today I have a very special guest in studios. He's a friend of mine. We grew up together. I don't really want to talk about the gang activities that we were involved in, that we started and were a part of. But I have a good friend in studios today. And he has extensive experience concerning the streets, concerning the prison. And I want him to introduce himself to the listening audience. Go ahead, my brother.
Well, good night. This is Dion Cole, a.k.a. Bloody. Yeah, I just came on the show with my friend Scoochie, you know, to give you all a little point of view and little, you know, little mindset about how really the ghetto and now someone the whole is just running, because everything is running, you know, like contrary right now.
Okay, and I want people to understand this man is also, we're going to talk about a little bit about his prison experience. He spent decades in prison. And we can talk about it. We can talk about the prison condition, because the reason why I want him on the show today, because what he has to say can open up a lot of ass on what's happening in our prison and what's happening in our country. And we want to talk about the recent murder that happened in our community. And we have, you know, someone who I care about, I know his family, you know, and he also got injured in the shooting. Both of the young men, the one who died and the one who now is in the hospital, I think just came off surgery, he's doing better. Both of them were innocent young men, just in the wrong spot at the wrong time. You know, they wasn't involved in nothing, just that where they were, it was spotted out, and guy just showed up and just opened fire, you know. They didn't care who they shoot, you know, just as long as you're there in that particular spot, you know. Took the life of a young man who was completely innocent. My condolences goes out to his family. And my sympathy goes out to the family, you know, and my heart goes out to the family of my friend, Little Ro. You know, I know her father, Romeo Cooper. I know his mom, Tommy. You know, his grandmom. I know his whole entire family. And I can imagine what they're going through, but at least, you know, he's doing better. And I just want to say, you know, I see the deep in my heart, and I see the deep fall. All of the persons who are losing their life in this country today. I think we're close to 60, eh, Bloody?
Yeah, I'm close to 60.
60. Okay. I wanted my friend Bloody on because, you know, he spent extensive time in prison. He was also one of the former members of the Border Boys. You know, we grew up together and we hung together. And the acting director, the acting commissioner of the correctional center, Joan Claire, you know, he's been there some 25 to 30 years or 35 years at the prison. They're introducing a new program now where they're going to allow the children of inmates to visit them for a whole day. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a very good thing, you know, because we need to try and civilize the young gentlemen's young men in prison, you know, because, you know, it's a real hellhole, you know. So I compliment the government for introducing programs that is going to be very beneficial to the inmates, because I judge the country's success when it comes to crime on how we're going to reduce the prison population from 1,700 to probably 50. See, I gauge it on that. If we're going to make any progress in this country, I feel that if we keep on having the prison population at 1,700 and we invest millions in the Royal Bahamas Police Force to deal with criminals in the country, we have the judicial system who do their best, but we have a backlog of cases, years and years, and many of these cases ain't going to come up. 98% of the inmates who are in prison now will eventually come up. Okay? So we have to find ways on how we can reprogram the thinking of our males and females in this country. So I want to start off by asking my friend, Bloody, because, you know, I really want to let him open up. This is his first time on radio, and I want to really ask him the right question. I want to ask my friend, Bloody, what's the length of time that you spent in prison?
I spent 15 years. It's 15 years.
15 years?
Yeah.
Okay, I see.
What's up?
Yeah. Baby, I see you watching. Good night, baby. And also, those on Facebook who are tuning in. Yeah, 15 years.
No, feel like 30, though.
15. Feel like 30.
Yeah.
How old were you when you went to prison?
I was 19 years old.
19 years old.
Yeah.
First time?
First time.
You had any court cases before that?
Never had a court case before that.
Wow. And what year was this, Bloody?
1995.
Wow. And you did 15 years, first time before the court, and you got 15 years.
Yeah.
Getting 15 years, how was your, knowing that you get 15 years, how did you feel knowing that you get 15 years?
Boy, I was in a different other world. You know, they put me in a different other world. You know, you think, you know, you always can win the case or this and that. When they say you're guilty and the judge read that sentence and sentence you, your mind is just going a different world.
Wow.
You know?
Different world.
Totally different world.
So, were you put in a population of hardened criminals, first offending? Where were you put?
Hardened criminals, no first offending. Straight in the middle of I block. Where all the murderers was, that's where they put me.
First time. So, your first night, what was the experience?
Well, I think I didn't even sleep for like three, four days in a row.
You want to
sleep? Stay up, thinking. Saying, man, this real, you know? What just happened? You know? Yeah, but that's life.
Mm-hmm. I also want to say, and I don't want to get personal with you, but I want people to know your real Barbara. I know some of your family members. You had a brother also.
Yeah.
Was he in prison at the same time as you?
Yeah, he was in prison at the same
time. What's your brother's name?
Timothy Cole.
The people listen to the name now. Yeah, and Timothy Cole. Timothy Cole is a good friend of mine. He protected me when I went to prison for my first time.
Mm.
Okay, he protected me. Timothy Cole, you know, he got charged for inspector. I mean, got convicted. I think he's serving 25 or 35 years. But why I'm saying this is because now you get two brothers in prison. Okay? One do 15, and I think Timmy did, what, 25 or 30?
25, I believe.
And he was always in and out of prison from... Yeah. And he been in prison earlier than you. You went 19.
Yeah, you probably was doing the prison from 16 or from Boys Industrial
School. From Boys Industrial. So we could say from 13, 14, 13, 15.
Yeah.
Same thing as Simon Mujim McKenzie and many others.
All of them.
And about 13, 14, 15.
Yeah, from 13, 14 is from the Boys Industrial.
Straight to prison.
Straight to prison.
So there's no intervention in between now.
No. Look like back then they didn't have no system or no nothing to try break it, like to break that trend. From they see you getting problems from age of 13, 14, there was no system to help the youth back then. Yes, you know? Say, once you go to Boys Industrial, you don't learn then there, then they say the only place left is jail.
And if you're unruly, you go straight to jail.
Yeah.
So, saying this, good for you that you had a brother who had some scripes, who off scripes in prison.
Yeah, who off scripes.
So he made your life a little easier.
Yeah, a little easier.
So tell me, what are some of the things you experienced with the other inmates in the prison? We ain't going to talk about the prison officers first. We're going to talk about, let's just talk about fights, robbery, taking advantage or any rape.
You know,
go ahead.
Back then, there was plenty of gangs then. You had rebellions, you had gun dogs, junglers, hornets, you know, and everybody's mixed up in one. So when the cell come out and they don't like each other, that's a big fight. And sometimes the prison officers used to mean to let you out together just to get off. That's the thing I saw all these getting off.
So the prison officers themselves are accustomed to the violence and going to prison. They also contribute.
Yeah, they also contribute.
Think they help you?
No. I don't think no help is in the prison right now.
You don't think?
I mean, at least back then. Maybe they're trying now. I don't know. You know, I never really keep up with the prison. From my chemo.
You never went back.
Never went back.
That 15 was that 15 years changed your mindset.
Yeah, changed my mindset.
And you was a bad boy, but you was a pretty bad boy. Yeah. That 15 years completely changed your mind.
Completely changed my mind.
Okay.
Never went back.
So, when it comes to the prison office, those who are supposed to be protecting and making sure that the prison running the right way, in some instances, they would allow an inmate to be brutalized.
Yeah.
It's a regular thing.
It's a regular thing. I don't want you to believe because they wear the uniform, they don't live around gangbangers. Many of the fellas who in jail is their family or live in their neighborhood, they know them. You know? How you think the weed and the cell phones are going to get in jail?
Let me let you talk. I tell you this.
How do you think the weed, the cell phone, the cocaine, the...
Cocaine?
Cocaine, gin.
Man, listen. Hold on.
You know?
Guardian Radio?
We used to be drunk every day.
Guardian Radio.
High every day.
When you brought Valentino Brown on this radio, I want to talk about invisible stuff that goes on in this country that is affecting us. Now, you have a former inmate who has changed his life around. He's telling the country about what's going on. And you hear him talk about cocaine in prison, marijuana in prison. And yeah, he is saying how it gets in prison. That's why when you watch the news, you would see an inspector who had been at the prison for 35 years getting bussed with 2 ounces of weed, or a constable getting bussed with drugs. You're seeing this over and over and over with our prison officers, and this young man just gave a prime example of what's going on.
Yeah. One of the biggest drug dealers in prison is the prison officer. I'm telling you.
You all listening?
I know they bust a prisoner with a pound of dope Tuesday and come back and say to the soil Wednesday and bust him with another pound of dope. How the other pound of dope getting now? You tell me. Get bust with $10,000 cash. A prisoner. Some of them have more money than the people on the road.
Wow, it's crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy. But that's how it is. People have family, people have friends. That's what family and friends in all areas of the government, in all segments, or all police, prison officers, defense force. Yeah, I guess can't say. But that's how it goes.
And this is kept from the general public, and they make it seem like we're the bad guys, the guys on the streets who are doing the little shooting, the little stealing of the stores. You know, we take the blame for all this.
Yeah.
We is the one who bring it in drugs. We is the one who bring it in the phones in the prison. No. We is the one who bring it in the cocaine. We is the one who bring it in the rum. Mm-mm. But is that a way right?
Yeah.
So that's why last week, for the last 2 weeks, I've been talking about each government department needs an internal affairs department that is separate from all of these departments. Their job is just to go after those who are breaking.
Investigate and prosecute.
And prosecute. Yeah. In order to have a balance.
In every department.
In every department.
Yes.
That's why it's necessary.
You have to be.
To have them on their toes. Yeah. To reduce corruption in this country. So Guardian Radio, you're doing a wonderful job of having a young man like me and my guest, who has done 15 years in prison. His brother's Timothy Cole, you know. And this is the inside stuff.
Yeah. This is the inside as you get.
So, why is all these gangs in prison? Okay? Are any stabbings going on?
Stabbing, man. You will die in prison if you get bucked the wrong spot.
How do you mean die?
You'll get stabbed to death.
Well, I know they get reports now that 4 prisoners are being found in the last year or so with blunt force trauma, and they said that they were, you know,
beaten
to death.
Yeah.
So that is true what you said.
Yeah.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
This is the next fact. Okay? So, I always talk about taking advantage. Have you ever seen or heard of any young man getting raped or?
Yeah. I believe it's on time. I mean, the young man, he's about 17 years old. He broke into a prison officer's house and TVs and everything, and he came to prison. And this chief put him in the cell with the biggest sissy in jail, and he got raped the whole night.
Y'all listening? Nah, this is the guy who was supposed to protect and serve. Nah, he got vengeance in his heart. So this is what happens to you people. This is what happens in our system. That's why we need internal affairs. So all y'all who voting for the PLP and FNM, y'all brothers and sisters, what needs prison system? You know, PLB and FNM, they have a person like you, hey? Just like Bloody say, he would put you in the cell with a sissy guy to get raped.
What's your enemy?
And you think this guy was his first time in prison too?
That's a young boy, I believe, 16 or 17.
First time. And he coochie get take.
Yeah.
So raped. What you think is going to happen
there? I believe he lose his mind, he going crazy.
That's why a lot of people are going crazy now. Their first time or going to prison, because this is what happens in our system. The same system what people say, you know, you do the time, you spend the time, you know, they ain't worrying, but what is happening in the prison. You see, they don't see that. So they say that if you're a criminal, you go and you spend the time. But listen, you could imagine that young man now, his first time, 17, getting raped. He going crazy. Mm-hmm. Just imagine the next 17-year-old who take that to heart.
Mm-hmm.
they is the same young man who come out on the road and be raping people, you know.
Yeah.
Because now they got raped in prison. Now they, once they get free, they're going to apply this.
Yeah.
You see, because they're learning from somewhere, and they're being hurt.
Change their mentality, change their thinking.
And I want you, I just was reading, what's up, Louis George? Respect. Mr. Russell. All right, good night. And baby, Mr. Joseph, he's there, baby. You see my jack, man, this baby. Yeah. You know what I was saying, Anderson, bloody?
You're saying about the raping, like the mentality.
Yeah, the mentality. This is learned. Prison teaches people homosexuality. Prison teaches violence. Prison teaches corruption. Okay? So ain't much rehabilitation going there. So you wonder why guys come out and you're seeing everyone who get released from prison getting killed on the streets today?
Yeah.
You wondering why? Well, you think this is a coincidence?
Well, I say ain't no help in prison for them. None at all. Now they build a new prison and they put sections in it to put certain offenders, rapists here, thieves here, armed robbers here, murderers here, and separate them. Probably it might slow it down if they put a rehabilitation system in the system to rehabilitate them for the crime that they come for and try to teach them a different way.
Now this is the man who's doing 15 years and he is giving solutions to the country's problem because he himself is fed up.
Yeah.
You understand? And he's given some good solutions.
Wow. Because you're seeing it just like this trend just keep going and getting stronger and stronger and stronger. Getting more violent, more offenders going to jail. I don't even think a person who gets busted with a joint should be in jail. That's just a little
change. Talk, go at us.
Smoke a marijuana. You get put in the jail with hardened criminals who charge for armed robbery.
What do you say, Minnie? Enough respect, Minnie. Minnie gonna be on this week or next week, okay?
I believe if they put the system in, if you get busted with a joint or two joints, and the judges say, well, I'll send you to a class, you know? Or try to rehabilitate you, try.
Before you go to prison. Mean? So, I'm asking you a question. Do we think going to prison, it makes you don't want to go to prison no more? Or?
It all depends, because look like everybody who go into prison just keep going back. Like they don't care about prison. You know what I mean?
Why do you think it's like that?
Probably they just ain't changed their inner self. You gotta change your inner self. Your inner thinking voice. It all begins with you. That's why I like what Michael Jackson said. It starts with the man in the mirror. So anytime you go in the mirror, the cool mirror, look at yourself. Just think about yourself. Think where you wanna be, you know? You wanna be in jail. You want to be somewhere with a nice job, a millionaire, somewhere. Probably you put your standards up high, probably your mindset will just set right at night. You know what I mean? But you thinking low. And how the system built today now, look like you just waking just to pay bills, that's all. They'll put up VAT, they'll put up all the groceries, put everything up, but they'll never put the pay up. So that's when the struggle comes in. Once the pay low and everything high.
Talk, my brother. Go ahead.
You can struggle.
So you think this?
It was like $100 back then. We could have buy.
We could have bought a whole food store.
We could have bought a whole food store. $100 now with milk and cheese and the butter and the bread. That's it. $100 gone. You can't even feed four children if you're four children. Yeah. Everything in school was free back then. Now we have a class party. They need $10.50. We have a fun day. They need $10.50. You gotta register them. You need 100, 200. They charging you in the school now for even for the little children. So I don't know. I know what it is. I still try to figure out what it is.
That's crazy.
No, that's crazy.
Bro, I just was looking at something. I saw on the Facebook just now. I know what I do this now. Let me go back. Sorry about that. Yeah. So this is some extensive information. Let me, like, you have seen it all up there. Okay? How is it up there? Like, it's just, you know, I never spend no time. Yeah. I just only remind for the firearm and I get busted with the 380 pistol. I only spend about about 2 weeks. Then after that, I get remanded for kidnapping. I spent about 2-3 weeks, but I never was sentenced.
Right.
All right? I was that fortunate because, you know, I was a smart guy, and most guys would have gone to jail for me. You know, back in the day, our guys, we were one of the leaders. Yeah. Guys would actually plead guilty for crimes. That's how serious it was, you know, just because they wouldn't let the leaders go to prison. They would take... Man, it was crazy. Anyway, we have a call on the line. We're going to take this call. Right. Go ahead, caller.
A pleasure. Good evening, Scrooge.
Good evening to you.
Sparky here.
What's up?
How you doing, man?
I'm good.
Man, you know, you got a wonderful show. I love you. I wait for Fridays every evening and everything like that.
Yes, sir.
But can I ask you a rare, down-to-earth behemoth question?
Go ahead.
Come on, Scrooge. We from the ghetto. We from the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
Over the hill. This over-the-hill thing, they got a ridge of doggone hills from Minton all the way to Lyford Key. There's an over-the-hill on both sides. On the north side, it's normally just a rare thing now. On the north side, it's where the white people dominate, all around the harbor, all around the beachfront. Nassau, Bay Street East, from Yamacraw all the way down to Lyford Key. They got the north side. Hello?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
On the south side, if you come over Hawkins Hill, Market Street, Fox Hill, Collins Avenue, East Street, Nassau Street, wherever you go, they call that over the hill.
Okay.
That's where most of we go up and everything.
Yes, sir.
That's where we is the poor people.
Mm-hmm.
Now, hold on. Let's talk it right now. That's what they call over the hill.
Okay,
the
Sparky.
Rich white people and they on the north side, and the poor black people on the south side.
All right.
And we've been fighting all our lives to get on the north side. Because we ain't got no yacht, because we ain't got no place to tie no yacht in East Street.
Okay.
But the fella got a place in Brown Boat Basin to tie his yacht.
Mm-hmm.
So when you tie your yacht and you get a yacht, you got to find a place to tie your yacht.
Yes,
so they keep us. Let's talk the truth. They keep us over the hill. Poor.
Who keep us over the hill? Who?
The elites.
No. The elites don't keep us over the hill. The politicians keep us from over the hill.
Oh, okay.
Not the elites.
I didn't want to call that.
Don't get this rich people thing mixed up. The politicians.
No, but listen what I'm saying.
I listen to you good.
Okay, listen to me. We got the social people.
Mm-hmm.
We got the religious people.
Mm-hmm.
And we got the politicians.
Mm-hmm.
All of them.
Okay, now we talking.
Live on the north side.
Now we talking.
Now look here. Where is the bishop of the Catholic Church live? On one big piece of property going up towards Fox Hill.
Yeah.
They call the Hermitage.
Yes, sir.
Where does the Anglican bishop live? Another place where they call the big place.
Yes, sir.
It's always on the north side.
Mm-hmm.
They hardly come over the hill, but we go to their churches and give them all our monies, what we wait for every week, and they call it tithes.
Yeah. So, Sparky,
how do we get to the point?
Because, I have the gentleman. I really have him on the office conversation. So, speed it up.
The thing is, and then we keep going screwed between these two power PLP and F&M. Mm-hmm. And we keep switching them up and down. Mm-hmm. And they are elites also. And still up every 5 years, we still up ending up over the hill fighting to try to find out how we can buy corned beef and rice.
Yeah, we fight to buy corned beef and rice. Sparky better stop, but that's true. That's true, Sparky. And I appreciate you, Sparky. You do a wonderful job because you're an activist, So, Bloody, tell us some of the things that you witnessed in prison during your 15 years.
I witnessed plenty of things, man. I witnessed stuff like when the officers get mad at you, they wouldn't even feed you.
Hey, man, they won't feed you. It's their job to feed you.
Yeah, but they wouldn't bring you no food. They'll give you tuna. You just open a can of tuna and give you raw tuna with oat mayonnaise, lemon, lime, or salt in it. Let's give you that. Bread. You know about that taste?
And I want to say this. Sparky, I did us a disservice. What about us as an individual who are black, just like the next inmate? The prison officer is black. The inmate is black. But he don't like you. And he's supposed to be a prison officer. And look what he's doing. So say that again. What he's doing?
Oppressing.
And he's supposed to be serving.
They're some of the biggest oppressors in the world, the prison officers.
So that's why.
Mind you, they have some good set now. I'm not saying all.
Mm-hmm.
But you see themselves with oppressive, they oppressive bad. I'm telling you, they don't like nobody. They don't like no prisoners.
And they mistreat people.
Yes.
And get them worse.
Get them
so that's worse. Why we have so many young men, when they go to prison, they get hardened because of the treatment they get. Yeah, no rehabilitation. And none of this is reported because it's protected. This is the system that protects the system. I'm here to talk about the system and make a reaction to the system. I'm not trying to break down the system.
If they had a private internal affairs body to handle the prison, I believe the prison would run more for it.
If they
have somebody to oversee the prison, who have authority over the prison officers.
Over the commissioner.
Just put them in their place. They will
Get the complaints from the prisoners. Yes. And do an investigation.
And investigate it. You don't have to. You get a complaint and don't do nothing. But you got to have somebody. You got a stern head and strong heart.
Wow. Wow, that's crazy.
Tell you the truth, I believe they need a new prison. That prison, that taking a dunk in the bucket and four or five people in a cell smelling that.
What you mean a dunk in the bucket?
You got a stool in the
bucket.
People
say when you go to prison, you do the time, whatever it is. So,
the same place you pass or go to the bathroom to catch a dunk, that's the same place you eat and you lay down, right down.
So we in a cell, but biggest the guy in the room right now.
This must be a tree cell.
What?
They only 6x10, 10 foot long, 6 foot wide.
And how much people?
4 to 5 people.
In this heat?
In this heat, you will die.
So what you do all day?
Some guys just clog it all up with them big towel and sheets and pour 3-4 bucket of water on the floor. Hanging everything in the ceiling, just laying the water. That's how hot it's getting. I'm telling you.
You have time to go catch a fresh air?
They let you over 10 minutes, that's it. You better fill your bucket to bed. And once that oi, when you see that oi sound, oi, you gotta go back inside.
I'm gonna put you back on so the people can see you. And this is my friend, Bloody, and I brought him on because remember, Guardian told me to bring people who have experience and solutions. So this is a plus to Guardian. You get a guy who has done 15 years, his brother is Timothy Cole, notorious. You know, if you watch him over the years, you'd see the cases he had was high-profile cases. One recently, about 2 years ago. And he is the brother, and two of them was in prison at the same time. You know, and we know the story about Timothy Cole. We hear the story about his younger brother. And the man is making recommendations for improvements at the correctional center. He's talking with the prison officers being involved in illegal activities. Okay? He's talking with the mistreatment. All right? He's also talking with the prisoners being in prisoners and inmates being in various different gangs. And if you go in a particular section of the prison, you can lose your life. There are many people who have lost their lives in the last few years, but it has not been properly investigated. But if you listen to the investigation that's going on now, you can see that over the course of the last year or two, where they had about 4 persons were found unresponsive at the correctional center. But after they do investigation, it was found that they had done force trauma. That means that they were assaulted.
Yeah.
But there's no charges being brought against them. Mm-hmm. Why do you think it's that?
I believe it's just a cover-up. I believe probably to do something to the officer, and the officer just let them get killed, and nothing just come out of it.
These things happen. People do these things happen.
Yes.
If the officer don't like you, what do you do?
He'll put you somewhere to get beat.
To get raped?
Rape, beat, whatever.
Well, this happened with me, you know, this is what your brother did for me.
Mm-hmm.
When me, Chucky, and you will went to prison, okay, we went to prison, or 3 of us went to prison for attempted murder.
Right.
The CID told me they was going to send me to prison, even though I was not involved in attempted murder.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? And they sent me to prison. They sent 3 of us to prison. When we went to prison, Timothy Cole and Benji was in prison at the time,
mm-hmm.
and Fred.
Right.
And Timothy Cole was upstairs. I can't remember. He was upstairs in H. Tingame.
Mm, south?
Yeah, I think that's the south. The bathroom was, the barber shop is here, and then the steps cross here. That's the east. That's the east.
Yeah.
And he was upstairs.
L block,
that's right.
Right.
And Timothy Cole, because I grew up watching him, you know,
mm-hmm.
he was a terrorist. And I learned some stuff off him because we used to talk a lot. He was the senior man at that time. He was young, but he still was the senior man. He had more experience than me on the streets because, you know, I just was coming up.
Right.
But I used to frequently watch him drive 600. You know, he was a hard boy.
Yeah.
You understand? But that's how the neighborhood made the individuals in our community because we didn't have the proper guidance,
right.
The proper family structure. So we had to defend for ourselves in this community, especially when the crack cocaine came out.
Yeah.
And he screwed all our family life.
Yeah.
You know? And he told me, say, you know, Scoochie, whatever you do, don't go use the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
And these guys was talking to the prison officers.
Mm-hmm.
That was the whole crew. The Raiders, the Gun Dogs,
right.
The Junglers, whatever.
Yeah.
And they were trying to get me to use the bathroom. Yeah. And you won't believe a prison officer come telling me come use the bathroom.
Yeah.
I watch him talking to the inmates because I wouldn't go use the bathroom because Jimmy Cole tell me to use the bathroom.
Right.
The inmate, the prison officer came and told him, boy, go use the bathroom.
Yeah.
So these things exist. And that's what's going on in our country today. And that's why we have in this problem we faced right today in this country.
Yeah.
Is anyone going to take the show serious? Or what this young man has to say serious?
No.
No?
Because they just don't care. I believe the BMA people don't care. Especially how the young youths doing. Pardon me. How the young youths going today. The people of the nation just saying, man, let them go to jail. They're doing too much foolishness. They need that. They just, you know, that's what I feel, personally.
Now, bloody, we're being around. Me and you, we're both the same age. Mm-hmm. Only reason difference is you did 15 years in prison. I was fortunate enough to miss that.
Right.
But everything else, we've experienced because, you know, we grew up forming a gang.
Right.
And people don't understand, what was the reason we formed the gang? Because we wanted the gang or because the rebellion was taking over the area? Yes,
because we wanted to stand up for ourselves. We didn't want to be joining no gang to say we following nobody.
And they wanted that little area.
Plain people believe, they don't believe around there. We ain't like a leader like
no.
What is the name? Kelsey and
Barkley. And Kelsey and then Anton. We was a mixture.
Donkey and two them, and we used to just get together and defend ourselves. That's all it was.
You see?
We just didn't want nobody to oppress us. Because, you know, they always try to oppress you or try to intimidate you.
So they've taken over the neighborhoods,
right.
And they wanted Hay Street to turn rebellion raiders, and that's one of the reasons we get together and form that particular group. That's why we got in the gangs.
Right.
Today's gang. I don't know what's going on. We were fanning turf.
Right.
I don't know what's going on right now on the streets.
Like walk, over the walk right now.
Over the walk. This old RM.
Yeah.
We don't have, you ain't fighting for no turf.
You fighting just to say you bad.
Or little like talks or bad.
A girl or something.
Or a girl or a gun or, man, petty stuff that can easily be resolved.
Yeah.
Hey, cuz, Roberto Newbold watching. Yeah, it's crazy. Wow. Woo. That's a mouthful. That's a mouthful. So, what kind of discussion is be going on with the young man in the prison? This is all balls out now. People listen, this is all balls out. You got murders up there, you got rapists up there.
Mm.
What is be going on in the prison like?
Back in that days, everybody talk about when they come out. But hey, when I get out, I can do this and that and that and that and that. And that. You know what I mean? And that's like the main topic of prison, when we get out or when you get out. You know? Some people don't even make it that far. I watch plenty of people trip out in jail.
What do you mean trip out?
Yes, going crazy. Couldn't take it. Yeah. 2 weeks and then that's trip right out. Can't believe they're in jail. And just lose self esteem and everything. Don't bathe no more and don't trip out. Gotta put them on the F block, and the F block is the freak block.
It's the freak block. What the F block call them?
Just crazy people.
They
will be chewing feces and pissing up themselves and don't bathe, don't do nothing, just trip right out. I'm serious.
Hey, Freya. Wow. So this is some inside stuff.
Wow.
So how was you able to cope with your 15 years, bloody? Tell me this.
I just accept it.
Just accept it.
Put it in my mind, say, boy, I didn't get this. You know, you freak it out, just do your time. And accept it.
Mm.
Once you accept it, then your mindset is totally different.
And you make sure, say, when I get out here, I ain't coming back.
Yes.
So all them badness you was dealing with when you was younger, you chore all that away. Yeah. Because you don't want this experience no more. You want a better life. How is your life now? And the opportunities which you're looking for, are they there now?
There's a couple of prison officers who helped me along the way doing it.
Okay, let's talk. Go ahead.
Like Mr. Sanders, he was Inspector Sanders then.
Mm-hmm.
And then you had Corporal Wright, I believe he's an inspector now, or sergeant now, in the tailor shop. They mm-hmm. took me into the tailor shop, and that's how I began to sew. Sewing just take my mind, you know, playing basketball, joining a team, and just play ball.
You ever got at ball now?
Yeah.
You used the girls, I'm sure you used to get all the girls, man. Bloody boy, he had all the girls. I ain't gonna tell you. This red guy, yeah, he had all the girls. I see. Man, listen. This guy's had all the girls.
Yeah. I had them coming from all over South Beach.
And all trying to turn them on me.
Too much.
Yeah, that's crazy. What's his phone ringer? I can't answer, sorry. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I really believe they need to get a system in the jail. They got to stump a system in jail, a real rehabilitation system.
An auto system may change.
Yeah.
And I'm going to refer it back to the statistics. If you read the newspaper, you'd see statistics tells you that the majority of young men who get charged with murder today, once they're released, they're likely to lose their life. Yes. And they come on the streets.
And that's like nearly 80% rating. That's nearly the 90 now.
Wow. You came out. Is there any opportunities in the inner city community when it comes to empowerment from our government and our church leaders? Is there anything for a young person who just came to school, 2 to 12 grade, it's 5,000 students coming out every year. Do you think there's an opportunity for them in the inner city community to find work or to have a business?
No, I ain't seen nothing in place right now. Nothing the government doing, nothing the church doing right now. Hold it up, 5,000 will come out, probably 100 might survive. Because we don't have no system in place to help them out. Man, our children them supposed to be going off to college with play ball, and we also have plenty of beamings in the football, in the NFL and the NBA. They have the talent to do it. We just need, the government's supposed to be supporting them. You know what I mean? The church, excuse me, all the pastor wants a $9 million jet and a $2 million mansion house, and the people giving it to them. They wouldn't take that $9 million and build a community center for the children. To help the children out. And I see the government building a mega structure for the, you know, for the youths. Nothing. It was one of the biggest mega structure for youths in the world, in the Bahamas. That's how much money we have. But we don't know where the money going.
You think the money going every 5 years we lack?
Why?
And then who's supposed to be serving us?
I mean, for the past couple of years, I've been thinking now, F&M, PLB, F&M. I'd rather give DNA a chance who never teeth me. I'd rather give somebody who never teeth me a chance right now. Because he never teeth me, so cheap, I give him a chance. That's the mindset I got right now. Yes. F&M, PLB, F&M, PLB. I ain't see where it's going. That's over and over and over.
There's 100 murders a year on the fair. And the heartbreak of many family members in this country who are losing their loved ones.
Yeah.
That's what's happening. And there's poverty. And then a lot of people want to leave to go to Canada and the U.S. because there's no opportunities, no job employment. Our nurses want to leave. Our doctors want to leave.
Yeah.
The citizens want to leave the Bahamas. We're supposed to be one of the richest Caribbean countries in the world. You speak about the 5,000 students, and you say probably 100 that comes to the school will end up We either end up on the police force or the defense force or immigration or some type of bamboo shock or furniture plus where they'd have a good career. But all the rest, so 4,900 would be stagnated on the street trying to hustle us.
Yeah, trying to find construction jobs or selling weed, selling the go-go, just turning a bad boy or a bad girl.
And most guys who come into prison, what is their job of choice? Because they can't get no employment. What do they do?
Well, the only job you can get in a prison right now is if somebody hire you on a construction site, will do some mortar or somebody train you to become a skilled man. Because if you don't get the skill set, you just going to be a laborer. And the laborer money, that's dino money. That's only money just to keep giving you lunch every day when they pay you to go to work, cash bus to work.
You've been living across West Creek. You've been living across Hayes Creek, Grandstand.
Mm-hmm.
How many young men have you seen actually you think you have known have been killed in the last 10 years or so? Or the last? Go ahead.
I didn't know, but 40, 50. Yeah. Young men.
Live right in the neighborhood.
Right in the neighborhood.
Same, it's the same.
You can see them just walk past you today and somebody comes, well, you know, you shoot yesterday, you know. I mean, shoot just now, you know. I didn't go, never. Just one of my little cars, I stop him in the morning. He say, they're going to work. It's 6:30 in the morning. 15 minutes later, he had to call his dad. He said, what the?
That means guys follow him?
Yeah.
No, any kind of work?
Yeah.
They're talented, you know?
Yeah.
If they use their minds for a different purpose. You notice to stake somebody out. You know, there's the nerve to say you're going to put a gun on you and your boy to drive a car to go follow somebody to kill them early in the morning.
Yeah.
You know, there's you get up out of your sleep and you plan this out.
Yeah.
And that's what's going on in our country right now.
That's what's going on.
Because how you said that, right? I was home. And when they say, hey, Scoochie, someone called me on the phone and say, Scoochie, say, you only hear just now, little roach get shoot. And Lefty. So I say, hold on, man. But Lil Ro and Lefty, we were playing ball in the park Sunday. Yeah. I just leave Lil Ro through the corner.
Right.
And Lil Ro, he don't bother nobody. He have good parents.
Yeah.
And listen to this, people. Lefty, I don't even live around there. And he's his only, he is his parents' only child.
Yeah.
So I can imagine how he's feeling right now. And Lefty was when he stopped to come here, Little Row, because that's his boy. So when he come to hear them.
Right.
But the spot where they were hanging.
That's where other people was.
Other people was associating. So all they say is a guy came through in the queue, walks through, spot them, say, walk back to the car, get his gun, get the gun, come back and put it on and say, don't move.
Mm-hmm.
And then open fire on two victims who ain't doing nothing.
Yeah.
He just would shoot anybody who was there at that particular spot. Mm-hmm. Now he kill an innocent young man and he injure the next young man. Now everyone has family.
Yeah.
How do you think this is gonna end now?
Well,
many people know their children was not involved in no illegal activity and he have brothers and he have cousins.
Yeah.
How do you think this is gonna end? You gonna blame them now when they go do retaliate if this happens?
Hmm.
Huh?
They say leave it to the police.
Leave it to the police?
Yeah.
Oh.
That's what they say. But that ain't what the streets say.
What the streets do?
Streets just retaliate. Especially when there's a close family member, just retaliate. That's how it's been going for years.
From our time, before our time, before and our still time. Going on.
Still going on.
So, okay, I was asking more questions. We're going to take this call because I want the callers to participate, but I also want the callers to understand that this show is about this young man here and his experience. Okay? Because he is telling the tale. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside the Inner City.
All right, Scoochie, I go. This is Hob Rollin' calling.
What is this?
Hob Rollin' calling.
Okay. Go ahead.
Yeah, man. I like your show today. It's bringing some positive light to some negative things. And opening the door and put some light inside.
Yes, sir.
The best disinfectant in the world is sunlight.
Yes.
If you don't know what's going on, you can't fix it.
Yes, sir.
Understand me?
Yes, sir.
But I understand what you're all trying to say, right? But my point about this whole thing is, right?
Go ahead.
is Lee is just, I mean, how could you be out on bail for double, triple murder, a nigga with a joint going to jail and don't get no bail?
But you, you lie.
Well, I know what to say. Go ahead, Carla. You're talking. Go ahead, huh?
Yeah, man. I be listening to the news every day. You know, I live in the family island.
Yes, sir.
And when they come to Nassau, I walk everywhere you got to go, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't wear no jewelry. I ain't got no peasants. I ain't got no tattoos. None of that. But I look around, and every time I go to my hotel room, when I turn on the news on my phone, somebody getting murdered with this one or that one, and everybody known to police. If they known to police, why are they on the road?
Mm-hmm.
Why these icomunders can't keep... You remember, you ever seen House Arrest?
I agree.
The movie with the young fellow who kitty daddy in the car crash.
Yeah, and he couldn't come with the yacht.
He couldn't come with the yacht. Why we can't do that?
That's Ankle and Warrington right there.
Yeah, why we can't do that? Why are these niggas allowed to go everywhere?
For their own safety. It's for safety of the public and safety for themselves.
Yeah, but they're allowed to go everywhere.
To the nightclubs.
And they doing more things. Like how your boy say, Fox Hill is a university.
Mm-hmm.
You go in a minor offender, and you come out a maximum offender.
Yeah.
Because when you come back out,
you're rough.
They done brainwash you, done intimidate you, done bring you into the fold. Because you need protection. You got to follow one of these gangs to get protection.
Yes, sir.
And when you get out there, for your protection, you got to pay.
Mm-hmm.
Ain't nothing free.
Mm-hmm.
If they get the charges to breed in the Bahamas, we've been paying tax for now.
Yeah.
So, keep it a good job. Mm-hmm. Just tell them, fellas, try stay away from them. And them fellas who got that funny intention, bro.
Yes, sir.
See, I'm a man. I'm 52 years old.
Yes, sir.
I got five fellas working for me.
Wow.
I put three of them together and two of them together is working by myself.
Yeah.
Because my temper's short. If I got to tell you something over and over,
yeah, yeah.
And you won't pay no attention,
time
I
to
get
go
mad, then they say, I got the problem.
Yeah.
So it's working by myself. If you stay by yourself, you would be surprised to see what you see.
Yes, sir. That's what I learned in the last few ladders of my years. When I did that, that was the best thing that ever happened to me.
Mm-hmm.
When I saw keeping company.
No company is trouble.
Yeah.
Because it's going to be one stupid bonehead who going to want to tell you, like, here, let's go down the road and hold this one up. Let's go get this car. Let's go party tonight. And you don't got no money and you want me to go party with you? So we got to go rent a gun or borrow a gun, go rob somebody, a party? Go to work, your grandparents and your parents and go to work. 9 to 5, ain't never kill nobody.
Yes, sir.
You all have a good one, bro. Talk to you next week if I could.
Yes, sir. Yes, you did a wonderful job. You know, I grind my hair now. I got to plot up my hair. So, you know, I grind my hair. I said, no more sorry for the parents, but I grind my hair, you know. I grind my hair. I said, grow my hair. Yeah, so we having real talks, you know, and this is kind of stuff. And Poison's dad, you know, he's never been on radio. And I've been trying to get him on radio for years.
Yeah.
He said, finally, come on the show. And right now, he's more important than many of the guests who probably come on shows because he's telling you what's going on in the prison. Okay, he's telling you we need an internal investigation team in the prison. We need an internal investigation team on the Royal Bahamas Police Force. We need an internal investigation team on the Defense Force. Yeah, that's why I said we need an internal investigation team on the Defense Force and the Royal Bahamas Police Force. Y'all think about this now. That's why I say the system protects the system, and it's time we put an alternative measure in place as citizens and advocate for internal investigation department that is independent of the Defense Force or the Royal Bahamas Police Force. They are police, they are Defense Force officers, but their job is to look for all those involved in illegal activities and crimes. Yeah, that's why I'm going to say that. Recently, we have seen Defense Force officers involved in armed robbery on the banks, and they always have a firearm.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what I always don't hear? Where they get this firearm from?
Right.
Why is these Defense Force officers patrolling the seas of the Bahamas? And they the judge, jury, and executioner. So when you think they pull over a sloop, or they pull over a boat, American boat, and they search this boat, and they find these firearms, do you think they turn these firearms in? Or they say, but you're success, yeah? But we can wake this up,
yeah.
We can let them go, and we can keep these guns. And these are the ones These are the same guns that end up in the hands of citizens because they're going to give it to their friends and they're going to keep them there. And they're going to have one of their friends on the street who's a gangster because we all know people in defense. We all know people in the police force. And this is what happened in our country. We're going to take this next call. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside the Inner City on Guardian Radio 96.9.
Yes. Hello.
Good night.
Yes, good night. Mr. Brown. Brown is your name, right?
Yes, sir.
Good. I'm wondering if you ever thought, have you ever been to university?
No, sir.
I feel like you're limiting yourself. Okay. I've been listening. I've been following you now for about 2 years.
Yes, sir. Go ahead, sir.
And somebody like you, see, I've been on the street a little bit myself.
Yes, sir.
I used to go to church, but a preacher can't talk to me because he never walked the road.
Wow.
So I can't listen to him.
Yes, sir.
When I was younger. And I could listen to people who've been on the street and know what it is to have a gun put pointed in your face or see drugs, see people get killed or something like that.
Yes, sir.
So I can't let, like, a guidance counselor talk to me.
You're correct.
You need to have people like yourself, myself, and the young man next to you.
Yes, sir.
Go into the schools.
Yes, sir.
And talk the real thing. Don't
yes,
come
sir.
With your passive talk.
Yes, sir.
Because that's what the preacher does. The guidance counselor, who ain't never been to prison. None of them never been to prison or never been on the street, probably never smoked drink or anything. But they won't tell you how to change.
Yes, sir. I understand where you're coming from.
And you need people who have been there.
Yes.
It's like a man, you telling a man who's been to Vietnam how he should be. He already got a different mindset. He don't see things you'll never see.
That's why you're post-traumatic distress.
Right. So you need people who've been there to talk to people who you see heading that way.
Hmm.
Right.
And you, I always listen. I like to hear you laugh. I get a kick out of hearing you get a good laugh. But
yes,
I think somebody like you, you need to think about going to university because the world is waiting for people like you out there.
Go ahead, sir.
One day, I'll introduce myself to remind you of this conversation.
Okay, sir.
But you got a university right here, like what the boy named Carlos Reed.
Yes, sir.
You see what he did and where he is today?
We help him get where he is.
Right. Or
that's who we can help him get where he is.
Yeah, we started.
Yeah, but he
started,
never took English.
Yes.
Against
he need to go back and take his English. I don't know, he got a doctor to get English.
Go ahead, sir.
He needs to go back and take English.
Yes, sir.
But people like you all, no, I'm not knocking cops.
No.
Well. And I like to listen to him also.
Yeah.
But you got to polish yourself down when you get up there in the upper echelon.
Yes, sir.
Because you're going to start meeting people of a different ilk. So therefore, the little bit more education you have and the little bit more polishing you have,
yes, sir.
You'll be surprised to see how the world would accept people like you. Because our youngsters are lost. And they're not going to listen to...
No.
Some man, I used to teach one time, I'm going to tell you the truth. And I never had a problem with my class because you know why? The way I look at them, the boys, they could see I wasn't a normal teacher. Now, they didn't know my past.
Yes, sir.
But the look in my eye, they calm right down. You know when you got that look?
Yeah, they understand the look.
And one or two of them I had to hold, but I didn't knock them. I just put my weight on them.
Yeah, because, you know, they're tough.
All right. So, you see, that's what they're begging now for teachers, for men to go into school.
Because
sometimes you got a man, these boys, when the principal ain't around or nobody
around. Yeah, because they'd run over you. They'd run over you because they come, they're rough and tough. They're rough and tough.
You can't talk to the fellow who in the gang, but boy, please sit down. Arm him and draw him down. Let him know you in charge.
If he don't want to, sit down, then you have to use
and
your mind.
And get out by class.
Yes, sir.
That's how I operated.
You're right. You did
get
it right
away. Get out of my class before you cause me get in trouble.
Yes, sir.
And I realized they would calm right down because they realized I was of a different breed. So therefore, you need people of our elk and culture to go out there and now talk.
Yes, sir.
And I like how you're saying what is going on in prison. I can't imagine a prisoner being caught with $10,000 cash. It's hard for me to come with that on out here and waking.
Well,
and I work 7 days a week.
And that's what goes on. I've heard stories.
But he needs to talk more. Tell him talk more because he's very passive.
Yeah, I can let him go. I can let him talk some more.
Yeah, he's got used to speaking up.
Yes, sir.
He needs to share some more, man. I want to listen to him.
Okay, I can try to pry some on these last couple of minutes.
And one day I'm going to come. I mean, I've already sat around you and you didn't know I was looking at you, but I can come and introduce myself.
It'd be a pleasure, sir.
Okay, good.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. You see people, you know, because what you're talking is very important, and you tell them what's going on in the country. You serve a great purpose. Right now, you know how important he is right now to the country, because you have the nerve and the audacity to expose the invisible stuff that's going on in our country, what our system is doing. Yeah. We got this one call, and then we're going to get back to you. We're going to take this next call. Go ahead, caller.
Hello.
Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, bless you, Scoochie.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, blessings to your brother. You say Bloody, right?
Yeah, that's Bloody.
Yeah, but listen, you know, like the last caller, you spend more time than me and you put together than plenty other people, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you know, being there twice, it was like 23 and then at the age of 40, I don't know, last time I've been, it was 209. But what I'm saying is, I like the stories he's hearing, but I'd like for Bloody to answer one or two questions.
Go ahead, give it to him.
I've had some callers talk about, like when people put money on the for the commissary,
right?
And they leave prison, and they never could get, no one gives an account for that amount anymore. I could reckon with what he's talking about with the food situation, with the prisoners getting, with the officers getting mad, you not sending you food, etc. But I know what happened one time when I was up there was the fellas who have money or who have like influence. What'll happen is when the trolley go down, you watch the trolley go down the aisle full, right? And when they come back up, they might only have Campbell's soup. They give you all the other delicacies, like what you want, that then gone. So people who get, you understand what I'm saying? This is what I see with my own eyes. Others, they come and give you cigarettes and all that. And we see the disease-like conditions that exist within there. And so roach in the front, rats in the back, jungles in the alley with the baseball bat. But, you call some old-timers named there. What's going on? I see my brother in Ewell. Like, Ewell, you call Ewell name.
Ewell?
I realize I'll be being around. I see Ewell in a minute.
Ewell that? Ewell got killed?
What?
Yeah, that's Moshe, brother. Ewell got killed.
Yeah, Benji, you didn't know this situation. Benji,
yeah, Ewell got killed right after Moshe. He knew he lasted but 5-6 years. That's both brothers gone.
In the dark ages. That's what we're getting. But, you know, I like the brother's story, because then the most important story what people should gather from this is the rehabilitation.
Mm-hmm.
And so the government have a right to take care of you while you're in prison.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm glad he's exposing these tactics in which they use.
Yeah.
Like, you know, they put you in the F block, like some people, these different little tactics that they use. But, you know, you got to bring it all out. But the thing is, in order to implement the system, is there any oversight, like in any, you know what I mean? Like, there's no innocence project or anything going on in there. Like, it's just like, is he still... You can build all the buildings you want. But like your brother said, if you're not rehabilitating the people, them. But also, me personally, and knowing, but you know, I had family members who spend way longer time than me. But when you come out, you just let the caller know, like, you always be kind of quiet and passive. Mm-hmm. That's just the way it is. But your mind is just revolving again. You know what I mean? So I can understand where the brother's coming from. But he's full of knowledge.
Yep.
And he has to share it. And so to hear it from somebody who's in there, you know, because when I realized, let's say intake was a new thing when I was there, and when I look at how dirty and filthy it was unbelievable. So I don't know what they're doing to upkeep it, and then we had people denying. I don't know if you remember when, I don't know who the senior officer was, you know, came on the radio. It was a police officer who was in charge of the prison. He was a commissioner, and then I think he was the prison officer in charge. But I think one of them came on the radio and said that there was no, you know, the piggery scent, you know, the human stench, the fecal, which you just said, you know, the scent which you smell, man.
The feces?
Yeah, you know, we smell the feces, right? Bloody. They deny that there's an open trench where there's throw this thing, man.
Let Bloody answer.
There's an open trench, they duck all the feces in every morning at 6 o'clock.
Yeah, but, I do that, but you know what's going to gas me. What I'm saying is too bloody. The situation with the contrabands, etc. I like how schools painted the picture. But the last caller made me remember something too, when he said the people want to hear from people who's been through it. But that's the same thing where they be telling some doctors them, you know, certain conditions you have to discuss it from a patient's perspective, and they don't understand it. So that's why they're not getting ahead too with certain treatments, because they're only looking at it from their way, and they're insensitive to certain revelations by your body, which your body can be able to teach them, because your body's smarter than anybody. So you understand? So you have to be able to listen to people who be in the prison, and the government needs to run with that. But what I'm saying is they want to treat us like dog even when you come out. So with the question with the criminalization, they're still criminalizing insignificant amounts of cannabis. Mitch and the brother showed me that they're not really interested in decriminalizing the weed, you know, because just recently a family member, must be a three-quarter ounce, less than three-quarter ounce of weed, you go on the court and pay like almost $900, man, just for a little But I tell them they should throw it away. But this is what they into. Because they collect money from Mitchell and Scusi.
Yeah, I understand.
They're not into decriminalizing. No. They want the public to know that.
Because
it's their benefit, decriminalize us, and then collect the money, and then play like they want to decriminalize it. People that are in 1988 or 87, when I was in Washington, D.C., you hear me, Scusi?
Yes, sir.
Georgetown. Just a couple hundred yards from the University of Georgetown. Went to see basketball game in my aunt. It was a guy, a white guy, in a shop door, smoking a joint of cannabis in 1987 or 88. And I said, Yanni, the guy smoking a joint right there. And that's from 88. They had up to decriminalize up to ounce from back then. So that tell you where we are, the dark ages. Give thanks.
Yeah. And what Bloody mentioned when he say he don't feel no one should be going to jail for marijuana. It has been proven. They said that the war on drugs is a failure in the United States. The UN has said this. It's maintained its voice, right? But we in the Bahamas don't have a really serious drug problem besides the cocaine era. We have little marijuana use, and we have found out that marijuana, even though we have it illegal, is still, you know, not something that should be criminal,
right?
And even though, say, we're decriminalizing it, and we have this program in place that the first time offenders, you know, you could go and apply to the Ministry of National Security and get your police record clean.
Right.
Why are we still putting people before the courts for joints and ounces of weed when we say we're decriminalizing it?
Right.
You know, decriminalizing it would save us a lot of time around the court, a lot of backlogging with cases. We have thousands of people who were just before the courts with marijuana possession, one joint. And this is taken up all the time from the major cases like the murders and the serious rape cases and stuff like that. The judge could use their time and effort focusing on more important matters. You know, there should be no one right now, since we've been talking for the last year and a half or 2 years and a half from the Free National Movement to this government right now,
right,
still going to court for marijuana possession.
Right.
All I'd be supposed to do is educate people and say, you know what? If you get catch in the street smoking it, you get a fine.
Right.
Okay, if you get catch in the street smoking a marijuana joint, you get fined. If you get catch smoking around a school, you get fined.
Right.
So you instruct people, if you're smoking it for recreation use, stay in your yard. And in your house. You can't smoke around no kids. You gotta be 18 years of age or 21 years of age to be allowed to smoke marijuana. All right? And that's how it's supposed to be.
Right.
You understand? You know, if you get catch in the road and you won't be the hero, the police has the right to lock you up because you ain't supposed to be in the road smoking it.
Right.
You understand? Or going in places where there's a bunch of people and you want to smoke your marijuana. Either, if you're going to make it recreational use, backyard, or safe environment, where no kids, or in your room, or et cetera, if you're driving your car and you want to smoke, I think it could impair your vision or whatever, or... You know, I just saying, you might buy from smoking in the car, because a lot of people like to smoke in the car and listen to their music, but I'm not seeing nobody really getting car accident from overdose or marijuana. Most people getting car accident for alcohol.
Yeah.
You know, so all we got to do is make some restrictions. But to tell you the truth, the cases before the court with small marijuana possession should not be before
they
the courts.
They need to drop them.
Yeah, and
people are in jail because they need to let out of jail.
Right. You see? Now, if you, right now, until, you know, they say they want to legalize it, and, you know, we still have people who sell it wholesale here illegally. I don't know what they're going to do with that part. I think you just fine people if you get caught selling it.
Right.
You know, if you get caught selling it three times, you spend time. If you get caught selling it the first time, you get a fine. If you get caught selling it the second time, you get a fine. You want, you know, because your intent is applied.
Right.
Third time,
that's 6 months.
Yeah, that's 6 months. But the first two times it's fine. The third time,
right?
Right. And then if you do it again, you get a time again because you ain't gonna listen. But you have three chances to get yourself together. But small marijuana possession, because you know what it says? It says dangerous drug. One little small marijuana says dangerous drugs. That is equivalent to finding a ton of drugs.
Right.
Because when it says, you know, it says the same thing.
Yeah, dangerous.
Dangerous drugs. Yeah, so very good topic today, and we want to talk about this stuff. So this guy wants to talk more about prison. So just talk whatever you want to talk. I don't know what you're going to talk.
Really, I really focus, my main focus is trying to get the prison together. Or try to get the government to focus on the prison. So we could focus on the country. Because, you know, the prison is what really have the country like this.
Yes. Tell them again, tell them.
The prison has the country like this.
Tell them. That's why I say I always reflect the 1,700 inmates on how the country is moving forward. Until we could get that done, until we could get the 1,700 done to probably 50 to 100.
Right.
Then we make progress. Other than that, BB girl, a lot of people, a lot of us are going to be crying for our loved ones. A lot of us. Those who are pulling the trigger are going to be crying. Those who receiving the gunshot and their family innocently will also be crying. Everyone's going to cry in this.
Yeah. And ain't nobody safe.
No one's safe.
Nobody's safe. So the people there, the people are the government. If they don't understand that, they'll never understand it. They have the power to change things. The people do. They have the power to change the government. They have the power to change this country. If we don't work together, we will never change it. And if you all don't open your eyes to be very, very focused, we can lose this country. That's going to be the Chinese or the Haitians or
the Europeans.
The foreigners can take this country right from the Spaniards. Right underneath our nose.
Because ain't nothing for us on the inner city community. Bloody, how much people we see walking around right now? All right, well, listen to this. The government, which they're doing a good job at governing and having investors, but as far as the people, they're not doing such a good job.
They focus on the people.
They say, you know, unemployment is down. Do you feel unemployment down for us? What we have every day around, how much people we get walking around unemployed?
Hundreds.
Huh?
They say all Asians have all the jobs. All Asians doing the mason work and they got all the contracts and everything, man. I know, but that's what they say. They say BMN people don't want work. I say they don't want to hire BMN people.
So we want shoot gun.
yeah, so shoot gun.
That's why we the way we is now of 100 murders.
Yeah.
That's what, because they have no future, so everyone is trapping these communities. Most guys who come into prison end up selling drugs, right? And then guys who come into prison but come and meet them and hang around in this area, and they cause the next generation of wipers.
Yeah.
We need more opportunities. That's what you're saying.
Yes. We need to open our eyes. That's what I'm saying.
Okay, we get a next caller on the line. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside the Inner City.
Hey, Scoogey, what's going on, man?
Everything blessed, man.
On Scoogey, let me tell you, right? The governments of the Bahamas, you know, the educated people, the ruling class, they don't care about the poor people, right? See, the other day we celebrate independence, right? We like to celebrate one man, one vote, right? All right, now. Let's look at the constituency where the prime minister is, right? He got 1,200 voters in his constituency. Yep. How many voters in your constituency?
We have way more than that.
They're talking about almost 4,000.
Yeah.
So, and
it could be more than that.
The voters in his constituency get 4 votes, so you have 1.
Yeah.
You understand me? That ain't a one-man one move. And look what they saying now. Oh, the minister got to travel all so far. What they have to do with your one-man one move? Nothing. You see? And the people who run this country, the media, everybody, they don't care. The only thing they care about is they contract. You understand me? Okay. Let's look at the jobs. Let's look at construction. You got Haitians, Jamaicans, and people, Cubans. These people, they used to work in $1 a day in some of them countries. And the payment can never compete against that. And we live in a capitalist society.
That's the truth.
Come on, man. The contractor or whoever hiring people, they're looking for the cheapest price.
Ma, I see you, Ma. Ma, go ahead, boss.
Huh? That's what they're looking for.
They can pay the Cubans,
you know,
and the Colombians.
Come on, we are a small country. How we get lazy and we win gold medals and we get world-class athletes? How we get lazy? We ain't lazy. We do the junk and no thing. What more? How much? All that takes is energy to do junk and no. We strong people, able people. You understand me? But they trying to, it ain't no matter what poor people do, they kind of suffer. Because you got nations who coming in here. Who gonna wait for cheaper? And you see, they mixing up our rights. They mixing up our rights with immigrants' rights. The treatment, immigration, and police treatment of people. Our people and immigrants. How did they get mixed up with that?
Sandra Hanfield, I see you, Ma. Go ahead, boss.
That should never be mixed up with that. You understand me? What's this election? I don't know PLP, no FNM, none of them. You understand me? Watch this. you know the thing about the coconut water. If you had a big hullabaloo about the small man selling coconut water, come on now, be honest now. How much coconut water stores you see in Nassau? About 20. If you see 20, you see plenty.
Mm-hmm.
So how does we let a whole government for 20 pounds selling coconut water and David ain't got a coconut tree? Come on.
Mm-hmm.
So we poor people, we need to organize. Poor people need to organize. You understand mm-hmm. me? We need the poor people, ununionized people, they need to unionize. You need to mm-hmm. organize them and for them to get their power. Their power. You understand me? They need to get their legislative power once,
yeah.
for one. You understand me? All about these far-flung islands and things with these 1,200 voters. And the thing is, the people who run this country, they live in Nassau, live in these constituencies with their power. They send their power home to them same 1,200 people in them constituencies to rule over us. You understand me?
Yes,
like
sir.
Them people vote for them too. They running this thing, man, and poor people suffering. We ain't got no public housing for poor people. We ain't got no jobs. What we get?
Nothing. 5,000 students coming to the school. Like Betty say, 100 is going to find employment in the next 4,900. They got to hustle. Producer giving us a sign that we have to take a break. This is Maestro. His song that he's playing, you know, special song. Okay, so don't go nowhere. We'll be right back after the break on Guiding Radio 96.9 FM.
Grieve me, but I doing the best I can, trying to turn my dollar to $100,000. I represent the ghetto people I from
Nassau, Bahamas, big up Dayton, bro. Boy, I from Dayton, bro.
Ghetto. Don't take no back talk, no bribe or no joke. If you find fire, you're definitely find smoke. Dayton, bro. Boy, I from Dayton, bro.
Always on the go? Miss the show? You can now listen to Guiding Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guiding Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guiding Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
Loss of family members is very isolating, and people who have experienced loss appreciate when others have shared their grief. If you can't be there in person, go to the Nassau Guardian's website online at thenassauguardian.com and visit our obituary link. The Nassau Guardian's interactive obituary link allows you to read the funeral announcement, express condolences, or place photos on the online guestbook for one full year. Losing a loved one is painful, but that pain isn't the worst thing to happen. Friends, loved ones, colleagues, and neighbors who ignore the loss compound the pain. Should the bereaved family wish to place the obituary and photos on our obituary site, just contact the Guardian's funeral industry partners or the Nassau Guardian. Remember, there isn't one magic right thing to say to someone experiencing loss that will make the loss less painful or easier to bear. The Nassau Guardian's obituary link, available online at thenassauguardian.com.
When faced with an illness like cancer, we band together. And we at Cleveland Clinic in Florida have your back. From advanced cancer treatments to extra safety measures at all of our locations, we're with you on this journey. For every infusion and follow-up, for every step of the way, for every care in the world, Cleveland Clinic in Florida. Get the care you need when and where you need it. To learn more or connect with a local representative, visit clevelandclinic.org/Caribbean.
Girl, you see how Cora eye look funny all black up yesterday?
But she say she bumped into a wall when she's running after the churn them.
Yeah, but last Saturday you see her arm was all black and blue, right?
So what you saying? You think something wrong between her and Jack?
I ain't sure, but you know Jack is a jealous man. I hear him and Cora last Friday. I hear him say he hear Cora have eyes for Junior.
Now you know that ain't true. Cora is a good woman. Does mind her business, take care of them churn and go to church every Sunday.
So what you think we should do? I think we should report Jack, you know. Cora don't say nothing, but silence hides violence, and we don't want to line up
up in the cemetery. Not me. I ain't getting in nobody business. Then Jack come after me and I land up next to Cora. No, ma, we could call her text Crime Stopper. And remember, we can even get some grocery money for our tip.
Remind me again how this work.
We can call them in Miami at 328-TIPS or 328-8477. Or when we in the island, call toll-free at 300-TIPS or 300-8477. And if you don't have no minutes, use the Crack Crime Bahamas app and we could text them and the messages get on mix up before it leave your phone so nobody can know what you're saying.
So what are we waiting on then? Let's go earn some grocery money.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
La 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 la, la 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 la, la 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 la. I represent Bahamian people. I from Nassau, Bahamas, big up Baton, bro. Boy, I from Baton, bro. Right between West and Augusta, where them two roads meet, they call it Wilkinson Street. Manners and respect was like a sign.
Good night, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. I'm your host, Valentino Brown. In studios, I have Bloody, who's a special guest on Guardian Radio 96.9. He is talking about the invisible stuff that affects us in the prison. He's exposing it, and I hope that the authorities are listening. They hear about what's going on in the prison. It's been going on the last 40 years in prison. So Guardian Radio always told me, as a talk show host, they want the inside stuff. And we find the right set of people. We have a lot of guests that comes on the show who are very important. But they ain't much as important as what this young man has to say now. Because not only did he do 15 years in prison, he was one of the founding members of the gang Border Boys, so he has extensive experience in that. His extensive experience in the prison system. And also, most importantly, is that he can point out the faults of the prison so that those who are listening can make amendments to make the life better for the young man in those prison situation to become productive citizens instead of becoming hardened criminals. And he's sharing you what's going on when it comes to prison officers abusing their power. Okay, prisoners or inmates who are taking advantage of other inmates. We're all black here, but we're destroying one another. But the system itself, when it comes to the prison officers being involved in illegal activities and using their power to inflict harm or cause harm to inmates, which in turn, this place is supposed to be a rehabilitation so that when these persons leave the prison, they have a changed mindset and can start a wonderful, beautiful life. But as it stands now, it seems to be some serious address needs to be made at the prison. They're making some good headway when it comes to programs. But, you know, a lot to do because those people come out of prison unchanged and wreak havoc in the city communities. I want to say good night to my cousin, Sandra Hanfield Ma. I see Mr. Kendall Ferguson. Good night to you, sir. I see Lakeisha Fox. I want to say thanks to everyone. I saw a baby a little earlier. I want to say thanks to everyone on Facebook who are tuning in tonight. And I hope that we're doing a wonderful job because Bloody Shirley is doing a wonderful job here tonight. You want to say anything before we go?
I'd just like the public to know that. You know, the only way we can get this country back, we can get a fight for ourselves. If we depend on the government, we can get it back. We need to take the prison system and rip it apart. Everybody who's 60, retire. Everybody who's 65, retire. You need to retire those old guys for the old mentality. Bring in some new, fresh mindset, some new thinking. Bring in some young IJI people. Bring in some people with wisdom and sight. And just retire all those old fellas who run in the prison.
Get rid of the old system.
Get rid of the system. And maybe we put one foot down, we maybe could land the next foot at the right place and we wouldn't stumble and fall. We might stand up.
So that's why, in other words, what you're saying is this. Let's get rid of those 60 and 60, 55 because they're the old system. They're right. Teaching a new generation of prison officers. Same old thing. So that's why I always say this. A sitting politician right now, like Adrian Gibson, who is before the courts right now,
Who do you think he inherit? The so-called, I mean, he's before the courts right now, and he's accused of embezzlement, what they call it? Using his position as an MP to get feedback, right? Contracts, right?
Right.
Where do you think he learned that from? Listen, think about this. Adrian Gibson, first time in Parliament, and yet still he was involved with a big scandal involving about $1 million or $2 million. Where did he learn that from?
He learned it from the people who he came in with, the old fellas, who's doing it a long time.
Okay.
You got to see something to know something.
What's the lady name now? Hamad Ard's daughter. She was a sitting minister of, what's your name now? She was a former police officer. I can't remember her name. Lakeisha Rowell. First time sitting member of parliament. What she questioned with on the police hazard. I mean, police was questioning her.
Yeah.
What she was involved with. Same thing. First time. Yeah. So it has to be the system.
Yeah, they seeing it. They seeing the leaders do it.
And teach them it.
And teach them it so they follow it.
And it's an old system.
If you don't see it, you wouldn't know how to do it. So somebody's showing them how to do it. And not somebody else. That's somebody who's doing it a long time.
Mm.
Who doesn't know how to do it? Who's doing it a long time?
And that's the permanent secretary who
goes over and over and around.
The permanent secretary who actually works for the King of England.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't work for the Bahamas government. Mm-hmm. He works for the kingdom. Now you call that central government.
Right.
Okay? That's who they swear to. So y'all stop getting this thing and understand that we are a divided nation. Me and you are taxpayers.
Right.
Okay? Government officials, police officers, politicians, you know what they are?
Mm-hmm.
They are civil servants, and they sign contract with the Governor General, who, in turn, oversees it to the King of England.
Right.
All right? And that's who their boss is. That's who the Prime Minister boss is. Okay? The Prime Minister boss, Brave Davis boss. Okay? In this country, it's King Charles. Okay? He goes to the Governor General. Relay information to King Charles.
Right.
Okay? The Deputy Prime Minister's boss is Brave Davis.
Right.
Okay? The Commissioner of Police, his boss is the Minister of National Security. And all their boss is the Honorable Brave Davis.
Right.
And his boss is the King of England. Okay? Y'all better remember that. We are different. We are taxpayers. Me and you are taxpayers. Okay? That's why we pay pension to Hubert Ingraham, the former Prime Minister Hubert Ingraham, the former Prime Minister Perry Christie, because they did their 2 terms, and as required by law and the system, they get their pension.
Right.
And their pension is anywhere from 120 to $150,000.
But if you check the bank account, they get $150 million back from there. What they need it for.
So you see, there's so much can be given to the poor. Just as many of these people who they deserve it, but many of them don't need it because many of them have been in as politicians. Poor.
Yeah.
Some of them ended up right now, $100 million, $200 million,
yeah.
$50 million, $60 million. Who money you think that is?
That's our money.
That's the people's money, but this goes to their law firms and stuff. But they accumulate this as being politicians. That's why a lot of them didn't disclose their annual income.
Right.
And they're breaking the law.
That's the law. They break the law.
If the commissioner of police has the power, or he is the police, the politicians are breaking laws. Why ain't going to lock them up? Why? Let me ask you a question. It is in law that if you don't disclose, right, at a specific time, it was in the newspaper 2 weeks ago,
yeah.
Right? And many senators and politicians have failed to declare what their earnings is. Why? But it's against the law. And it says you could get anywhere from, I think it's, how much fine? I can't remember. $10,000 fine and a year in prison or 6 months in prison.
Yeah.
Have you seen any one of them? And they say the only person who can tableless, like I all said, it's the Prime Minister and the opposition leader.
Right.
Don't lead the opposition leader with this, you know. Many of the stuff that the Prime Minister signs on, the opposition leader signs on. Okay? So don't get this thing twisted. And y'all better understand what's really, really going on in this country.
Like I said, in Nassau, they had the Nassau Stadium. Remember the Nassau Stadium where they sell breakfast? The Stewfish?
Yeah.
Ferry Christie sitting there and Hubert Ingham sitting there and they have Stewfish and Johnny Gagan and they talking. So what'd that tell you?
So why is we here fighting with one another?
In public, we sitting down talking about how much money we can get.
We got two former prime ministers who's multi-millionaires, but they made off
the game. When Hubert Ingham was in power, mm-hmm. when Ferry Christie used to sit down, right, did it?
Yeah.
Nassau Stadium and have breakfast just about every morning. They're good friends.
So, what do you think? One is the leader of the PLP, one is the friend. That's why Ingham say, well, Brandon, you ain't getting this. It either be me or Perry. I give it to Perry. You remember that?
Yeah.
He said, Brandon wouldn't see the city for the smoke. Since you won't be disrespectful, you never see this prime minister seat. That Brandon will ever see the prime minister seat. He started his DNA. He got kicked out of the Free National Movement. He resigned the Free National Movement. Got kicked out. And he going to form his DNA. And when he formed his DNA, after that two whoop ass to the polls, mine and the people, the Bahamian people. But let me tell you something with the Bahamian people. You think I'd be a fool with them talking about go run and be a politics and, oh, Scoot, you doing a good job on this radio and listen to a bunch of people out there. Mm. Boy, you see what they do to Michael Pine and Freeport?
Yeah.
Michael Pine, but he's the people, man. People, man, when election come downtown, Michael Pine can't even buy a vote. All that's be a bunch of talk by the Beeman people don't play. Why don't mind them, boy? You see with the polls? You think I could be a fool? No, boy, I listen to no noise in the market. I can keep on doing what I'm doing as little as possible. But yeah, I just want to thank you, for coming on the radio and you exposed a lot of stuff. I hope those who are listening, you heard what the prison officers do, okay, to their inmates. Okay, you hear what inmates is do to inmates. You hear there's no rehabilitation going on beside, even though there are some programs going on, right? But this man's saying it needs to be dissected.
Yeah.
There's rape going on, there's robbery going on, there's abuse going on, there are murders being committed, no one is getting charged, okay? There's drug selling, prison officers involved in selling drugs, okay? You hear the young man say there's cocaine, there's rum in prison, and he did 15 years, so you think he lying? You think he lying? So cocaine in prison. Marijuana in prison. Phones in prison. You know how much phones they find out a day? If the inmates in prison, we have 1,700 inmates in prison. How about 200 phones getting to prison? How over 4, 5, 10 pounds a week getting to prison? How over $5,000-$6,000 get fined in the prison? Howard gets it. How? Huh? How?
Prison officers.
Hmm?
That's Sony Bay.
Sony Bay. So, Bloody, what would you say to the young gentlemen on the streets, on the doors, who are in prison? What would you say to them to encourage them? What you would say to them?
Well, you tell them, just don't go to prison. When they said in prison, you got to come up with a different mind. Because it looks like everybody who come out of the prison dying now. That's just a trend right now. When they said who going in, coming out to die. Like, they just go into prison to learn how to die.
And it caused harm to innocent people.
Innocent people.
So people who are hard working.
Innocent, the two innocent guys who got shot yesterday. Those guys don't be into nothing, man. They just sitting where the other bad boys is sit. And the gunman thought they just bad boys too and just shoot them up.
One dead and
one injured.
And me and Little Road just played basketball Sunday. And me and the next one who got killed, Lefty, we just went in a 3-point shootout and he beat me by one shot.
Yeah.
But me and Roe, we went the whole thing because, it was two things, on the court.
There ain't no bad boys.
Wow. Yeah, let me see. We completely out of time. So, Bloody, I don't know what to say to you. You did a fantastic job.
Yeah.
I sure those who listened, we had a lot of callers. And I want to say to Guardian Radio, I find the best set of people to come with you who concerned about their country. And this is Bloody ways of giving back, even though he's persecuted by the country. But he see the suffering and the murders and the suffering going on, the poverty going on. And he came on the show today to speak for that and to make changes for those in the prison. For you guys in prison, you all should have utmost respect to Bloody because he's fighting for you guys. He's letting the authorities know, he's letting them. Listen, an audience know what's going on. Okay? I want to thank you, Bloody, my good friend. And I hope each and every one of you enjoy the show. And we'll see you next week on Inside the Inner City on Guardian Radio. Thank you very much, buddy.
Good night.
Good night, everyone.
I represent Bahamian people. I from Nassau, Bahamas, bigger Bintan, bro. Boy, I from Bintan, bro.